In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming life, really. Life, because life is the most basic experience of every person. Life. Today, as I speak to you, I want you to know that there are young women and men, and some older women and men, going into Planned Parenthood, and they're killing their children. This happens every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. This happens every single day that people go into this place and kill their children, and they're scarred for the rest of their life. And it is so important that we know that there are about 100 million children that have been aborted. 100 million. We've been saying 60 million for the last 7 years, but in reality, it's like 100 million children have been taken and just killed and thrown away. This really is what happens. I have with me Eleanor McCullen, who is a sidewalk counselor, and she's going to tell you about one of the things that happened this week, and it's very interesting, and I want you to hear it.
Yes, hello, good morning. I'm happy to be here, Father, because I always like to give glory to God, because he graces us, the sidewalk counselors, and it's always an opportunity for me to invite others to come out onto the sidewalk to offer hope and help. I have different things I could tell, but I'll tell what happened this week. You're right. One thing I would say, Father, too, that many times the people that are going into Planned Parenthood, they walk by me so kind of arrogantly, like they know what they're doing, they've made up their mind, and they don't want to see us. They don't want any brochures. But then, Father, it's always heartbreaking because 3.5 hours later, they come out. And they're not arrogant anymore. They're not walking fast beside me. They're crying. And they're walking slowly. And they're devastated. You've always said this, Father. And that's exactly what happens. And to experience this emotion out on the sidewalk, to see indifference, stubbornness walking in, and then to see heartbreak and devastation walking out within 3 hours. It is heartbreaking. But we can't afford, our sidewalk counselors can't afford to get heartbroken all the time, because there's new people coming. We have to proceed. We can't get distressed or discouraged. We do proceed. And that's what happened this week. We do proceed. And we had two young women, actually, that went in for an abortion. And the one young lady that was going to have the abortion is 17. She's going to be 18. And we talked to her friend. Her friend came out, and we tried to talk to her and tell her, there's help available. We'll surround you with love. Tell her, go back in and tell her, we'll surround her with love. We'll support her. She won't be alone because she's scared right now. And tell her all the ways practically we can help with housing. We can do financial help. When I say we, what do I mean? I mean pregnancy help, the Archdiocese Pro-Life Office. I mean a woman's concern that runs in Dorchester in Revere. We have so much help. I said, please go back in and tell her. So she did. But she came back out and she said, no, she doesn't want to listen. She's going ahead with the abortion. So, of course, I work with Mary O'Donnell, and we always pray then. At that point, we'd say the Divine Mercy Chaplet. So maybe about 20 minutes later, she came out. But she didn't come over to us. The young woman did not come over. She was crying. And we couldn't figure out, well, what's happening? So we waited, and she did come over, and she said, well, I didn't have the abortion because I didn't have the money. It cost $650. It turns out she was 8 weeks pregnant. It was $650. She didn't have money, and she didn't have health insurance. And, you know, I would say this, Father, that Planned Parenthood said, we're here to help women get on with their lives, to finish school. Well, if they're that concerned about women, they should have said, we'll do this abortion free. But no, they sent her out on the street, thank God, and she came over to me. She said, I didn't have the insurance, so of course this is a perfect opportunity to say, well, God has a plan for this child in the womb, and I can take you immediately to Brighton to pregnancy help. She hesitated. It wasn't as quick as it's going to sound. She hesitated. She's still crying. This is quite an emotional feeling, if you can picture this. A woman thinking she's going to take the baby out of the womb, and now she's crying, and she's with a strange woman, me. But the Lord is good, and the grace abounds, like you always say. The grace abounds, and people always have that grace, Father, but they turn it down. But this woman accepted the grace. And she did get in my car. I had the women in my car. The first thing you have to do is build up trust. So we went and had breakfast. We had a super-duper breakfast. And then I took her to pregnancy help, at which point she started to have a little half-smile on her face. She began to feel the help. She began to feel the support. But the clincher was Mary over at pregnancy help took her. We all went over and had the ultrasound. And she heard that heart beating, Father, 151 times a minute. And then the smile became bigger. And the stress left her face. And I would say joy came in. It's still a challenge for her, and we're still going to surround her with help. And we're going to be there for her the full 9 months. And her friends also said they would help her. So this was a beautiful gift from God. And it gives glory to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I'm happy to share that story with you.
This woman is still very vulnerable because now she's got to go home and tell her parents or her mother that she's pregnant. So she's still vulnerable, and we need to pray for her. Lord Jesus, we ask that what she put her hands to, that she would continue. No matter what happens, give her strength. Give her strength. Eleanor often tells the story about being out there, and she's talking to a woman, and a lady comes with a baby that has been saved from abortion.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful story. And you know what? What's so great about it? Because when we're working outside, and I'm still encouraging people to come and see and be a witness for the truth. The Lord takes delight in our witness. And the Father said to me one day, Eleanor, I will bring about the success. All I want you to do is stand and be a witness for the truth. And I also want you to give me your heart, 100%. But I will bring about the success. So I'm inviting people to come. And just when some days, you know, we're just so discouraged, because it's difficult. As Father would say, we're standing on the gates of hell. And I have to remind everybody, Father was the one who invited me to get involved in the Life Movement 12 years ago. And I did, reluctantly, and I thank Father for encouraging me and for asking me to do that. And I'm asking other people to come out now. It's amazing. And just the days that we're discouraged, we're like, oh, that God is so good. Jesus is so good. He sends us like a little gift, a little kiss. I always say it's like a little kiss. And I think two stories probably Father's thinking of. One happened about 2 weeks ago. It was late. It was 10 of 11. We're tired. Maybe it was raining. I can't remember. But just when we think, that a woman came by, and she was going into Planned Parenthood, and she said she was going in for birth control. So I was starting to tell her about birth control and the dangers of birth control, when she said, well, you know, I have to tell you something. I said, what was that? She said, you know, I want to thank you, not me per se, but somebody that was outside of Planned Parenthood. she said, I came to Planned Parenthood a year and 7 months ago, and I was going to have an abortion. And someone out here gave us the brochures. And she said, I still was going ahead with the abortion, but she said that when I was having the ultrasound, one of the technicians in Planned Parenthood said, you are going to have twins. So she couldn't abort twins. And she said, guess what? She said, today's my twins' birthday. They're 1 year old. And she got out the camera, not the camera, you know, that little phone. You can see the picture. And then her husband came by, and now we're all smiling, and the twins are gorgeous. And she said, yeah, and now her mind's off the birth control, incidentally. So now we're over at Star Market, and I'm buying something for the twins' first birthday, and we're praying together. And it was just joyful. But then she said, you know, there's more to the story. So I said, well, what's the rest? She said, after I came out of the room where the ultrasound was, and it's also interesting that the technician would say that this young lady was going to have twins, she said, I had struck up a conversation with two other women that were sitting in the waiting room. And she said, I came out because I said, I'm not going to have an abortion. I have twins. And I said to these two women, guess what? If I can take care of two children, you two can take care of one child. So she said, guess what? She said, we all walked out. But you know what? The moral of that story is, I never knew that until 2 weeks ago. And the Lord came and gave me that little gift, and I shared it with everybody. So three people walked out that day, and I said, did you ever keep in touch with the other two? She said, no. So we don't really know what happened there, but I did see the picture of the twins. And the moral of the story is, whoever's listening to me, whatever you're doing for the glory of God, sometimes you don't know what's happening. You can't see it, but you have faith that if you're doing it for the glory of God, He's not going to waste it. Something good is happening. So whatever you're doing, we would have never known that. And there are a lot of things in life, we plant the seeds, and we never know how the Lord waters them and how He makes them grow. But He does, and He will, and that's a promise. He said, if you do something in my name, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's never wasted. It will always be utilized. So that, and then, yeah, I think Father's remembering the story where someone came not too long ago, maybe about 6 weeks ago, and they had the baby in the stroller. That was another day when we're all discouraged. I just love the way the Lord just built us up again, because she came by with the stroller, and she was actually just going to Star Market, but I said hello, and she said hello. She said, this is my baby, that somebody was here, and I didn't have the abortion, and this is my little baby in the stroller. Well, we all make a big fuss, and it just builds us up. It gives us hope, and it gives us encouragement. It gives us confidence, because the Lord said, persevere. And sometimes you don't feel like it, but little gifts like this come, and then that picks us up, and then we keep going.
The reality is that when people are outside of the clinic or mill, I like to call it a mill, when people are outside, they have no idea how many people turn around, because I don't think any woman really wants to have an abortion, really wants to have an abortion. There's always that conflict within them. And when people are out there as really standing for the Lord, you know, I know that Eleanor will find out when she gets to heaven how many people turned around just because they were out there with their brochures, out there with their baby hats, out there with their roses, and they will find out how many people had their children as a result of just standing there in the name of the Lord. I want Eleanor to talk about the hats and the roses. The hats and the roses.
Yeah, hi, Father. This happened to, I guess we're trying to figure out this morning, how did we get into the hats? But I'm sure my friend Eleanor remembers. But it's so sweet. And we're always, if anyone's listening and they have a fresh idea, we're always looking for something fresh. And somehow Eleanor Bean got into making us little hats. And the hats are bright blue and they're bright pink. And we've just put the brochure inside the hat. with my telephone number, which I have another story about my telephone number, Father. But anyway, well, this is another case of a couple called me. This happened like a week or two ago. This is very fresh, too. And I gave out the brochure. I gave out Eleanor's hat. Incidentally, we do receive hats from Alda and Sheila and Jane and Eleanor, and they're very faithful. And I just want to thank all those wonderful women that are doing these hats out of love. And the Lord loves that stuff, and He blesses that. He blesses that. I have the opportunity of giving out the hat, so I see the reaction on the person's face. So thank you for everybody that's doing that. It's a labor of love. And so the brochure, the hat had the brochure and my telephone number, and we had gone home that day. We leave around 11:15. We get there at 7, actually about 7:15 in the morning. And I was listening to my messages a couple of days later, and a man called, and he said, and this is what they say, Father, they said, "You gave me the information and the little baby hat, but we changed our mind." And you know what they said? "We decided to keep it." But that's okay. Those are beautiful words. But they said, "We have your telephone number." So it's important that I give a local number. And so they called me, and I did meet with them. And I did take them to pregnancy help. And they are not fragile anymore. I mean, they're decided. They know it's the right thing. Thank you for being there. And I'm glad I had my number in there that day. And they're thrilled, and they know it's the right thing. So they're going to go ahead, and the Lord will bless them. But we love that, and Frank Porter brings roses. We distribute real roses. They're actually lovely roses. They're fresh, and we give those out to everybody. And we just want to portray, we're by the roses and the hats, we're not a judgmental group. People say, "Oh, sidewalk counselors, they're harassing." Well, when we say, "Can we help you this morning?" Unfortunately, Father, some people think we're harassing because they have made up their mind at home. They're having this abortion no matter what, because I have to have it, because I need the money, or because I want to go to school. It's all about what I want. And when I have our voices are very full of hope and compassion. We are not a judgmental group of sidewalk people. We're calm and gentle, and we just say, "What can we do to help you?" And that's what we do there. We just offer help and help, and by the grace of God, many people do stop and listen, and then we take it from there.
We want to invite you to go to Planned Parenthood, just to stand out there and to pray. And the address is it 1055?
Yeah.
1055 Commonwealth Avenue. 1055 Commonwealth Avenue. Just to go and stand there and to pray, because it's so important that people are there. 1055 Commonwealth Avenue, that you would just go. I remember when Eleanor first started, you know, that she went there and she was kind of unsure of herself, but the Lord started to build her up, and she started to counsel these young women. Planned Parenthood says that they give counseling, but there's no counseling taken in Planned Parenthood. The only counseling is you're going to have an abortion. That's all they're interested in is money. Unfortunately, they are not interested in the woman. They are not interested in what's going to happen afterwards. About how many pairs of twins have you seen born as a result of this?
Well, that's always exciting to see the two small embryos or fetuses in the womb. And I would say five. I have them. Jesus has them. But I had the experience of going to the ultrasound with five different women over 12 years and twins. And I still keep in touch with two of the sets of twins. One set is 5 years old, beautiful. And you know what the other thing I noticed? I don't know, maybe I'm prejudiced to all the babies and the mothers, but I think that the cutest babies and the well-behaved babies. And I don't know. I just think the Lord blesses these children. And so, yeah, imagine that, five sets of twins. And the other little group of twins, the other two little ones that I keep in touch with, if people call me, I'm ready to keep in touch. But what I notice, Father, once they get over that feeling of I can't do it, and we give them the support and the encouragement, 95% of all the people I've talked to over 12 years are doing it. And I've heard, thank you, we're doing it. My husband finally got a job, or we got two jobs. But there's always a couple that still need occasionally some help, and that's why I keep in touch with those two families, with those two sets of twins. And it's always funny, isn't it, Father, like they will go in for the abortion, but when they find out it's twins, there is something, I can't quite explain it, but when they always say to me, I could never have taken, you know, another thing I want to say, Father, too, we always just say abortion, and we just say it real quick, like, well, they were going to have an abortion, they didn't have an abortion, but I like to say now, when I've been saying lately on the sidewalk, I say, please don't take that child from the womb. No child wants to die in the womb. And I kind of paint a picture, and I say every child wants to have a birthday. No child wants to have a death day. So before I say don't have the abortion, but we're so used to saying that word, but I like to paint a picture of actually what's happening. That little child is being swept out of the womb. And that seems to, I think that's across the board a way to go now. Say it, it takes a little extra sentences, a little extra words, but it actually paints a picture. We're getting so used to saying it, we forget what's actually happening. The miracle that God has placed in the womb is being swept away. And, you know, the other thing, Father, yesterday you talked about who is our neighbor. And what I'd like to invite everybody to think about is our neighbor is the child in the womb. And the Lord said, love your neighbor as yourself. So we should love the unborn child as ourselves. And then to do everything we can to help the children to stay alive, whatever that means. Whatever that means, whether it's sidewalk counseling, whether it's volunteering at pregnancy help or a woman's concern, or whether it means making hats or having a baby shower. Also, there's a wonderful woman, Kathy. She brings over baby clothes. My house, one room is like a store, and I have baby clothes, and people bring over strollers, good conditioned things. So much we can do, because Jesus said, he's going to say, someday, we're going to say, well, when were you thirsty? We didn't know when you were thirsty. When were you naked? When did you need us? And I'm going to invite everybody to think of it as the child in the womb. Maybe if we all started to think of it that way, we could get the country to think differently about this evil. So that's what I'm thinking, Father, and invite everybody to come. And then also, I cannot help but mention, Father, and you always do, if anybody's listening and they're thinking of an abortion, I say there's help available, and I mention pregnancy help in Boston and a woman's concern in Dorchester, Revere, Cape Cod, and Beverly. But, Father, it's also the group of people that are listening that have had abortions. And I work with two women right now that have had abortions, and I tell them about the mercy of God. I tell them that Jesus loves them, and I tell them that that Jesus loves them so much. He understands they're upset, but he wants them to continue and live for him, and to continue with their life, not to get stuck in the past. Like you always say, Father, the past is the past. Let me begin to get on the right path, the Jesus path. So anyone who's listening that's had an abortion, they could call me also, and I could refer them to Project Rachel, which is also run out of the Archdiocese of Boston, where we talk about mercy. The mercy of God is like 5,000 oceans deep. We can't understand the mercy of God. So whoever's listening that's had an abortion, Jesus is holding you right now. He's loving you, and he understands your upsetness. But he wants to continue to love you, and he wants you to just proceed with your life now and not look back, but proceed on. And maybe help other people that have had abortions. There's another place for you there that perhaps you could help people, and that would help you to heal, too. So I just want to mention that it's so sweet of our God to be so merciful. It's hard to understand his mercy, but it's right there. And I just want to mention that for anyone who's had an abortion, the mercy of God is falling upon you right now.
Amen. Amen. I want to talk about question number two on the ballot of November 6th in Massachusetts. It's for physician-assisted suicide. You know, anyone who's been given 6 months to live can just get the pill. It's just 6 months to live. And there's no psychiatric treatment there. They have no... you don't need to go to a psychiatrist. You can just get the pill and die. It's going to be like abortion. It's going to start off very, very slowly, but it's going to mount up, you know, into a terrible, terrible thing. It's an awful thing that we have as a law that women can abort their children, and it will be an awful thing to have as a law that we could have physician-assisted suicide. So I tell you, on the ballot, question number two, vote no. Two, vote no. We don't want this to happen in our Commonwealth. We're better than that. We're better than that. We don't want people to have them take their own lives. I also want to say, not only about that, but to pray for the persecuted Christians throughout the world. People that are really giving their life for Jesus Christ, priests that have been in China in jail for years and years and years, people that are in Nigeria that suffer because they are Christians, because they are Catholic. Pray for the persecuted Christians today. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.